Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Sisterhood Exchange radio show, and you know that it is the home for the next several weeks of the Sisterhood Exchange book club, because it has been the home of the book club for the past several weeks. I am your very grateful host, Michelle Hollinger, and I want to thank you all for hanging out with me on Wednesday nights at 7:30, where we discuss the all-important topic of sisterhood. I miss you guys. I was not with you last week because I was in New Jersey for a very, very special occasion that did not have the intention of being a sisterhood exchange, but oh my God, was it ever. It was the wedding of my beautiful cousin, Wendy. Congratulations, Wendy and Chris. And I got a chance to hang out with my first cousins, a whole lot more family members, but this sisterhood exchanging happened between me and my first cousins on my daddy's side. So I have to give some shouts out to my beautiful cousins. Of course, the new bride, Wendy. My beautiful cousins, Wanda, Peggy, Lisa, Carla, Sandy, and Sharita. I love you guys, and I am just so grateful that I got a chance to be in your presence this weekend. It is a blessing. Let me tell you this. This whole sisterhood exchange thing, it is such a blessing when you are able to be in the presence of your sister, cousin, friends, just in the presence of women. But when those women happen to also share your blood, that just takes it to an entirely different level. And when you are in the presence, you know it. You know it when it's happening, but you also know it when you leave their presence, because you come away feeling invincible. You come away feeling like you can do anything. And that is true evidence that you have been immersed in a sisterhood exchange environment. So thank you, my beautiful cousins. I love you all so much. There was a little bit of testosterone up in the mix with Dwayne Hollis and Rodney, but they don't get a shout out. They just get their names mentioned. I love you fellas too. Okay, so yeah, the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. Before I get started, let me do my housekeeping. You guys know that there is a Facebook page, and I encourage you to check that out. Like that page, and you are given updates on, you know, whenever I post anything on it, and I post awesome stuff on that page. I just get a chance to reinforce what is discussed on the radio show, what is discussed in the book on that Facebook page, which is one of the reasons that I absolutely love Facebook. I'm not, you know, thrilled with some of the stuff that gets posted on Facebook, but that's none of my business. My business is what's on my page and what is on my Sisterhood Exchange page. So, yeah, I love Facebook for that reason. The other thing, let me say, if you are listening online, there are two things. The phone number, if you want to call in with a question, comment, or brilliant insight, that number is 646-595-2081. Press 1 if you want to join me on the air. I'll be happy to bring you on so we can discuss this beautiful topic of sisterhood. And then the other thing is, if you're listening online and you're on the website for Blog Talk Radio / The Sisterhood Exchange, there's a blue follow tab. If you haven't already clicked on that for me, go ahead and click on that, because that makes you a follower of the show, and you'll get, you know, naturally notified. You'll be automatically notified whenever, you know, there's a show scheduled, and you'll get notified, you know, just before the show goes on the air, so you'll get a nice little reminder. What else? The book. The book is available on Amazon.com. My website is under construction right now. I'm coming up with something new and different because I have some additional things to add to it. So you can't get the book from the website right now, but you can get it from Amazon.com. And if there is an independent bookstore in your community, first of all, you're blessed to have an independent bookstore in your community. And if there is, the book is available there. If it's not on the shelf, just ask the manager, and they will be happy to order it for you. And what else? Facebook, I gave you guys the number, asked you to click on the follow tab, told told you how to order the book. On Amazon, you can order the book in either paperback or the e-book. And if you order the e-book, order the revised and updated edition. Okay, one of my beautiful cousins ordered it, and I did not differentiate on the web on Amazon, and so she ended up with the older copy. But I will definitely be hooking my cousin up with the updated version of it. So I think that is it as far as housekeeping, and just to tell you guys again that I missed you last week. I really did. So we're going to jump right in. So you guys know that the book is The Sisterhood Exchange, and it's separated into two parts, and so. For the first several weeks, I went into part one, which is the Sisterhood of Self, SOS. And traditionally, we know that the acronym SOS has to do with an emergency situation, you know, a sense of urgency. And I think it's so apropos to be an acronym for the Sisterhood of Self, because there should be a sense of urgency about a woman connecting with herself, and that's what the Sisterhood of Self is all about, the way that we interact with ourselves, the way that, you know, we self-talk, the way that we motivate ourselves, the way that we you know, whether we take ourselves seriously enough to do what we are here to do, to put in the work, to discover why we are here, you know. Our date of birth is one of the most important days of our lives, but the day that we discover why we're here, I think that trumps the date of birth. I really do. You know, it's right up there with it. It's right up there with it, because it helps you to realize why you were born. And so the Sisterhood of Self essentially helps you to discover that if you haven't already. And some of us have discovered it, and we're you know, at this space in our journey where we're doing what it takes to peel back layers so that we can just stand fully and completely in our truth and do everything that we are here to do. And so the Sisterhood of Self, that's essentially what the purpose is. The Sisterhood of Self is really designed to help us to just get real clear about why we are here, real clear, real focused, and have a beautiful understanding that we are here on purpose, with a purpose, and to do exactly what it is that we're here to do. And that may be just one thing, or there may be many things. More often than not, it's going to be many things. But the focus is just to express what's already inside of us. So the preface went into what sisterhood essentially is, right? And what it explains is that as women, as females, we are born with this natural proclivity to embrace sisterhood. That's just how we're born. You know, as little girls, we don't gossip, we don't backstab, we don't do any of the things that you know, unfortunately may come later based on what we're exposed to. But as little girls, it's just our natural desire to connect at a very authentic level with other little girls. We connect with little boys too, but for the sake of this conversation, I'm talking about sisterhood. So it's just natural to us. It's just a natural thing. But then as we grow up, depending on the type of sisterhood that we're exposed to, you know, and that goes to the women that we spend the most time with, you know, with our mothers, our aunts, our older sisters, cousins, whatever, you know, if they understand, you know, the sacredness and the beauty of sisterhood, and their words and their actions and the way they speak about other women, if all of that is an indication that they understand sisterhood, then the likelihood that as little girls, we'll embrace that too. That's the version of sisterhood that we will embrace, that we will internalize, that we will, you know, normalize and let that be a part of how we see sisterhood. If, on the other hand, we are around women who don't understand what sisterhood really truly is, and they're operating from a false sense of self, they're operating from that space outside of them, they don't recognize their power, they don't understand the beauty and the sacredness and the wisdom that is inherent within them, and that lends itself to a beautiful manifestation of sisterhood. If they don't get that, then the little girls who are in their company pick up on that low energy of sisterhood, and that's what they normalize, and that's what they internalize, and that's how they see sisterhood, unless they're also exposed to other women who get it. And so then if they are exposed to other women who get it, then the likelihood that low energy level of sisterhood, that low energy variety, rather, of sisterhood, the likelihood that that's all that they internalize or normalize, then that's kind of loosened if they're exposed to something different, right? So that's what I went into in the preface, you know, an introduction to what sisterhood is, and I talked about, of course, what the sisterhood of self is in that preface and in the next chapter. And essentially, the sisterhood of self, SOS, is like faith. Everybody's born with faith. There's a misconception that some people have and that some people don't. But that's not the case, because faith is not a religious quality. It's a spiritual quality. We're all born with faith, whether we call it faith or not. You know, some people, you know, may never utter the word faith, but they live a faithful life because their expectations about what will manifest in their life is very, very strong, and they recognize that what they expect to happen is directly correlated to what is actually happening in their lives, right? So the sisterhood of self, the SOS, every woman has an SOS. Every woman does. But whether it's active or inactive is determined by how she interacts with that sisterhood of self. And there are seven principles that I go into that describe what an active SOS looks like, what it feels like, what it tastes like. Let me do a quick review of those. Every week, I always, for those of you who are listening for the first time, I always do just a real quick, sometimes it's not so quick, because I get into it and I start rehashing. And that's a part of that is by design, because this, you know, this is new information for some of you. And so repetition is a part of how we internalize, and we, you know, become second nature to us when we hear it over and over. So don't think that I'm trying to just, like, beat it in the ground, although I am. The seven principles of the sisterhood of self says that, number one, every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive, right? And I'll go into how we activate our SOS as I go through the principles. The second one says that the SOS is activated by spending time in the silence daily. That's one of those non-negotiables. You know, if you are serious about discovering your purpose in life, then the only way to truly discover that is by spending time in the silence, because it's inside of you. You know, there are things going on, you know, in your external world that offer clues to what you're here to do, but the nitty-gritty of who you are and what you're here to do, that's inside of you. And the only way to access it is by going in the silence on a daily basis, whether you meditate or not, is not the issue. Meditation is awesome, and if it feels natural to you, once you try to do it and you learn how to, you know, make it a natural part of your daily existence, that's awesome. But if it's not something that feels natural to you, find a different way to spend time in the silence. You know, whether you go for a silent walk around your neighborhood, or, you know, you just sit somewhere and you pay attention to your thoughts. However you do it, it doesn't matter. But spending that time in the silence on a daily basis is absolutely essential to discovering what your purpose is, okay? And activating your SOS. The third principle says self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. And one of the things that we gift to ourselves when we start to spend time in the silence is the ability to have this deep level of compassion for ourselves. We start to see that when we know better, we do better. We start to see that any, you know, past mistakes and poor judgment from our past, we start to kind of see that in a different light, and we recognize that, you know, we have to cut ourselves some slack. We don't help ourselves to move forward by looking back and beating ourselves up about things that we did in our past. You know, if that's the reason that you look for your past, look towards your past, then you are really keeping yourself stuck, because you cannot move forward by beating yourself up about your past. And I say that even though that's a natural part of being human, but we have to move beyond it, okay? So if you've already beaten yourself up, that's enough. Cut it out. Stop it. It's time to only look at your past, to learn from it, and to use it to propel you forward. And one of the chapters in this book says, If I Knew Then What I Know Now, and that is one of the most powerful chapters, because it encourages us to stop looking at our past and wishing that things had been different. Stop looking at our past and again, beating ourselves up for what we did do or didn't do, or who we were or were not. That chapter encourages us to look back at our past and essentially to thank ourselves for being able to survive whatever we survived and to endure, you know, whatever we endured, to look at our past with a different perspective, to look at our past and to zero in on those things that we were able to accomplish, what we were able to become, instead of, you know, beating ourselves up. So number three, self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. When we spend that time in the silence and we begin to cultivate that ability just to have that deep level of compassion, and it just starts to come easily, you know, you're able to see your past with compassion. And then in the day-to-day, when we make mistakes and we use poor judgment in the here and now, you know, we're less likely to belabor the issue. We're more willing to move quicker, you know, to compassion and self-forgiveness. Powerful, powerful stuff. The fourth principle says the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. Powerful. I use that word a lot. But it is. This whole conversation about the sisterhood exchange and, you know, part one, the sisterhood of self, just really honoring who we are, you know, spending that time in the silence, getting to know who we really are, really doing the work, peeling back the layers to connect with that goodness that's inside of us. And every single one of us has it inside of us, but the only way for us to access it is to do the work, right? So along with that comes this ability to start to pay attention to our thoughts and our words. And that's just a natural part of it too. You know, the research says that we think up to 60,000 thoughts a day. That sounds crazy. That sounds absolutely crazy, but it's true. You know, if we're just, you know, on autopilot and we're not paying attention to our thoughts, there are so many thoughts that just flow through our brains, flow through our minds on a day-to-day basis. You know, and the research says that 98% of the thoughts that we think are repetitive thoughts. So we're creatures of habit. The thoughts that we think are thoughts that we thought yesterday, the day before that, the week before that, the month before that. And if we're not paying attention, then that's what happens. And so if those thoughts are negative, and 80% of them are, then we're just allowing that kind of energy to flow through our minds on a day-to-day basis. And the thing that you have to be willing to at least consider is that our thoughts have a powerful, strong, you know, unshakable correlation to what we attract into our lives. Every aspect of our lives, it originated with our thoughts. It originated with our thought. Now, I encourage you guys to do some more research on that so you don't think that it's just me who came up with that, because I didn't. But the more I understand the power of thoughts, the more I recognize that our thoughts create our reality. What happens in our lives, in every single aspect of our lives, has its origin in our thoughts. And that can scare you or that can excite you. That excites me like, oh, my goodness gracious, because, you know, if things are not the way you want them to be right now, guess what? Change the way you think about it and you'll change the way it shows up in your life. You know, that sounds simple, you know, that sounds, you know, airy-fairy, whatever the case may be, but it's true. And I just encourage you to check it out, okay? So the next principle, I forget which one I'm on, I think that's number five, an active SOS thrives in gratitude. And there's a chapter on gratitude. Each one of these principles has its own chapter. It's titled, might be titled slightly different, but an active SOS thrives in gratitude. The chapter on gratitude in this book just really reinforces what a game changer gratitude is. When you allow gratitude to become a natural, daily, consistent part of your life will change. And definitely for the better. Your life will improve. Your life will transform. That's just the way it goes. You don't sweat the small stuff, you know, like you used to. Things that used to just really get on your last nerves, you have an ability just to see it from a different perspective. When you immerse your life in gratitude, when you allow gratitude to just have a permanent, like when you allow gratitude to be your anchor, the way that you move through your life just changes. And what I encouraged you guys to do in that chapter was to consider, and I hope that some of you have started, to keep a gratitude journal And essentially what happens with the gratitude journal is every day, at the end of your day, you write down at least five things that you're grateful for, at least five things. And some days, again, it'll be a challenge for you to come up with those five things. You may write down just the basics, you know, have a roof over my head, food, clothing, a car to drive, a job, you know, something, those basic things. And then there will be other days, and the more you keep the gratitude journal, the more you have these kinds of days where you can't stop your pen from moving, because the more you focus on gratitude, and that's the way our subconscious minds work, what we feed our subconscious minds is what our subconscious minds attract into our existence. And so if you are immersed in gratitude, your subconscious mind is like, she likes things that make her feel grateful, so let me pull more of those kinds of experiences into her existence. That's how your subconscious mind works. And when you immerse yourself in gratitude, brace yourself for an onslaught of goodness, an onslaught of wonderful things. Doesn't mean that challenges and tragedies and you know, so-called negative things don't happen in your life, but the way you look at those things, the way you look at those things changes. You even in a traumatic situation, if you've gotten into the habit of living from gratitude, when you're in that moment, you can find something about that situation. You can find something about that situation to be grateful about. Okay. Next principle says, an active SOS provides access to inner splendor, which reveals life purpose. That's what it's all about right there. That's what all of those principles lead up to. When you spend time in the silence, when you get into self-forgiveness, when you start to pay attention to your thoughts and words, and you recognize that your words have power, and so you start to, you know, you start to watch what you say. You start to watch what you are allowing, you know, to take a space in your mental garden as far as your thoughts are concerned. When you start to hang out with gratitude, you can't help but to discover your life purpose, because it's encased within you inside that inner splendor. And when you start to do those things, you just start to pull your inner splendor towards you. It's already there waiting for you. It wants you to discover it. It is aching for you to discover it. And once you start to do those things, guess what? It just embraces you right back with open arms. And you discover what you're here for. You may already know, right? But when you do these things, it just becomes even clearer. It becomes crystal clear. And there's this wind behind it, this strong, beautiful, divine wind that helps you, that propels you forward, so that, you know, the things that you need to have in your life that will help you to manifest your life purpose, they start to appear. The right person will show up, or persons, the right book, the right CD, the right sermon at church. Those things just start to show up, and you become aware, because they may have shown up before, but you weren't aware of them. You weren't aware of why they were showing up in your life. But when you tap into your life purpose, and those things start to show up, you're like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This book just jumped off the shelf at me, and this book has exactly what I need to know in order to do X, Y, or Z as it relates to your life purpose. Okay? And then, of course, all of the principles roll into number 7, which says the quality of a woman's SOS determines the quality of all her other sisterhood exchanges. So principles 1 through 6 all have to do with the sisterhood of self. And then principle number 7 rolls into the sister to sister, the way that we interact with other women. Okay? So let me take a deep breath. And we are going to roll into a quick review of part 2, sister to sister. So I always start off with this beautiful poem called The Sisterhood Exchange, and it goes a little something like this. You see her with fine-tuned vision, clarify essence. You see her in your home, on the screen, in the street. You see her as residual fear, rejection, unworthiness, and at least one of the isms grow smaller in the distance. You see her, head held high, beaming eyes, her SOS radiating sparks. Familiar eyes reciprocate, whispered thanks to him for her, and unspoken, deeply felt, you go, girl. Mutual lights glowing, lifting, honoring, each strengthening the other through this energy exchange called sisterhood. I love that poem. And one of these days, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna memorize it, and I'm gonna go to one of these spoken word venues with my black tam on my head and some dark shades, and I'm gonna have people snapping their fingers, and I'm gonna say that poem with all the inflections and energy that goes along with these spoken word opportunities. Crack myself up sometimes, y'all, so just laugh along with me. Okay, so the first chapter in Sister to Sister really just talks about how, you know, once you start doing this internal work with the sisterhood of self, the way that you interact with other women, it just starts to shift. You know, it's very subtle initially, and then, you know, once you're aware of just how powerful the sisterhood exchange is, just how powerful this energy that flows between women is, and you inject intention into it, it takes it to an even higher level. And the first chapter, Sister to Sister, I'll go ahead and read it because it's really short. It talks about that. It talks about how this subtle change in the interactions with other women starts to happen, and it's really beautiful. It's really a beautiful occurrence in your life. Let me read it. One of the benefits of an active SOS is that you begin to see the sacred in the space where other women exist. You become keenly desire to improve the quality of the energy that flows sister to sister. You know what? You know when it starts to happen because who is living with an active SOS, it excites you. It excites you in some kind of wonderful way. And that's what sisterhood is. Blessed. And you should honor her. In addition to her birthday and Mother's Day, you should find another day, you know, to set aside just to honor her for shining that beautiful light that allowed you to become the woman that you are today. And then that chapter also talked about if you have a mother who is operating from a false sense of self, who doesn't understand, you know, that she has an SOS and what it takes to activate it. If you have a mother who is operating from, you know, a sense of really just not knowing what her power is or what her power was, and if she doesn't understand her own power, you know, seeing power in another woman, even if it's her daughter, can make her feel uncomfortable. And, you know, a mother like that is more often than not equipped to help you to discover your inner splendor. But, here's the big but with a capital B. There's no coincidence that she was your mother, that she is your mother. There's a divine plan that brought you two together, that brought your souls together. There are lessons that only she could provide for you that at the time probably felt funky, probably were painful, probably were, you know, less than what you wanted them to be. But if you look back on them in retrospect, you know, and if you're listening to this show, if you've read this book, then you've done some work because you would not have attracted this experience into your life if you had not. Okay, so if you look back on those experiences that at the time were painful, were traumatic, were less than what you wanted them to be with your mother, that there were lessons that you learned. There were things, there were character-building opportunities in those things, in those experiences that helped you to become the woman that you are today, you know? And the whole philosophy of knowing better and doing better, we have to recognize the same thing is true for our mothers. When our mothers know better, they do better. When all of us, when we know better, we do better, you know? And when we discussed this particular chapter, I talked about how so many of the issues that still plague us as adults had their origins in our childhood. It's no different for our mothers. It is no different for our mothers. And so we do ourselves a favor if we are willing to consider that and we're willing to do some investigative work perhaps and to figure out, you know, what is it that happened in our mother's childhood that led her to become the woman that she was and the kind of mother that she was. That chapter essentially encourages women to free up energy, free up sacred space in your life by releasing any grudge or resentment or, you know, any ill will that you're feeling towards your mother. This chapter encourages you to let that go so that you can be about the business of accessing your inner splendor and discovering your life purpose, right? The chapter even says that doing this work is really not about trying to reconcile with your mother. That might be a natural outcome. It really might be a natural outcome, but that is not the intention. The intention is for you to get free. The intention is for you to be able to discover who you really are and to free up that energy, to free up the preoccupation with the past that is keeping you from moving forward to do what you're here to do. That's what that's all about, okay? And so that chapter also talked about, you know, even if reconciliation is not your intention, Because you do the work and because you free up this energy that you exude towards your mother, she will feel this renewed energy. If your mother is still with you, she will feel this renewed energy. And she may or may not respond to it the way that is at a higher level. You know, you may gift her with the ability to free up energy of her own, and there may a reconciliation could possibly be a natural outcome of this energy work that you do between you and your mother. But, yeah, that particular chapter is a really powerful one. Here I go with this word powerful. Every chapter is powerful, but that one is one that is really important. And there I go with important, because every single one of these chapters is important. But what I want to say about that chapter is that you really can't experience the full sweetness of your life. You really can't embrace your authenticity at the level that you deserve to embrace it if you are still stuck on issues with your mother. It just, you know, you deserve to have that energy freed up, and the only way for you to actually free it up is to do the work. So, yeah, if you don't have this book, you should pick it up and read it, because it's really powerful. Okay, so let me breathe again. Next chapter in Sister to Sister was this on the gossiping. Stop gossiping. And it just talked about how, you know, gossiping is just a waste of time. It expends a lot of your energy. You know, women who are chronic gossipers, they're not living their life purpose. They're not accessing their inner splendor. They're not, you know, moving forward with their lives. Not because they don't have, you know, talents and gifts inside of them. It's because they're using the energy that they could be using to discover their gifts and talents and to do the work to make them manifest. They're using that energy on gossip. And like energy attracts. So whatever energy you're putting out is what you're attracting into your life. And gossip is all about negative energy, because gossip celebrates another person's poor judgment and mistakes. And gossip just, you know, it just keeps you at this really low, dull level, you know. And so this chapter talked about that, and then it also talked about how if you have in the past gossiped, or if you are, you know, engaged in that practice, that you also have to cut yourself some slack, and that if you are interested in, you know, making gossip a part of your past, then, you know, you have to spend time in the silence with an intention to release it, and then also to send positive energy to any subject of your gossip. Because when you are willing to dissolve that energy, first of all, you know, that in and of itself is a really, really powerful thing for you to arrive at. But then when you infuse it with positive energy towards the people that you gossiped about, you transform the energy. You totally transform the energy. And when you do that, you know, from a really authentic place, your desire to gossip it just goes away. It's almost like you've been hypnotized, and you know, when the opportunity to gossip comes up again, you just don't have any interest, and you definitely start to not have the time for it, right? Okay. So then another chapter that we went into, and that was the last one before tonight, was Deeper Than Jealousy, and that one just really talked about how when we are willing to do the work, right, we are placed in a position to, again, peel back layers that help us to see who we really are while we're really here. And, you know, going beyond gossip, the J word, jealousy. Jealousy really is a gift, and that's what this chapter talked about. Jealousy is a gift because from a spiritual perspective, we're all connected. And because we're all connected, the only way for you to feel what is typically called jealousy about anything that another woman is doing, you also have to have the quality within you. So if another woman is excelling at work, if another woman is experiencing, you know, whatever kind of success, material or otherwise, and you feel a twinge of jealousy about it, it's because you have the ability to do the same thing. But because you haven't done your work in order to place yourself in a position to achieve what she's achieved, that's the feeling that is fueling this sense of jealousy. But what this chapter encourages you to do is to go beyond the jealousy. In your silent time, in your daily silent time, if you are courageous enough to allow your jealousy, your ego, to go sit its butt down somewhere, right? And you recognize that, okay, all right, so, you know, Michelle at work got a promotion, right? And, you know, I was feeling some kind of way about it, you know, I was feeling kind of jealous about it, but in my quiet time, what I recognize is that, you know, the qualities that led to her promotion, I have those qualities within me too, you know? And then you can ask yourself, okay, what is it that I need to do in order to nurture these particular qualities? Because there's something specific that you can be doing, you know, to elevate those qualities within yourself, right? And so when you're able and you're willing to do that kind of work in your silent time, you don't have to make this announcement to anybody. You don't have to go to Michelle at work, you know, and fess up that you were feeling jealous and that, you know, she helped you to. You don't have to have that conversation with anybody but yourself. That's the beauty of spending time in the silence, because you get to explore these thoughts. You get to explore every aspect of who you are. And then and only then can you do the work to move yourself beyond it and put yourself in that space where your inner splendor is just embracing you. Your life purpose is saying, here I am, with clarity and precision, and, you know, let's go ahead and make it do what it do. When you spend time in the silence, this is what happens. Okay, let me take a deep breath, because I am getting so, I get excited about this stuff right here. And then after the week that I had with my cousins, oh my goodness gracious alive. Okay, for those of you who are listening online, the number, if you would like to call in with a question, comment, or brilliant insight, is 646-595-2081. Press 1 if you would like to join me on the air. Okay? And again, if you're just joining me, my name is Michelle Hollinger, and I am the very grateful host of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. We are a little bit more than halfway through the book. So the past several weeks, we've been, this has been the home of the book, the radio show has been the home of the book club, and for the next few weeks, it will be the home of the book club, and then we'll go back to discussing Sisterhood Exchanging in a more general way. But now we're going through the book. So this next chapter, the chapter that we're up to tonight, is the chapter called LIVE. The acronym is L-I-V-E. And this is a really, really cool chapter, because if you have been doing the work with the Sisterhood of Self, then you have already begun to feel some shifts happening within you as it relates to how other women are showing up in your life. And what this chapter does is it's essentially a template, you know, for you to use when you interact with other women. And it just gives you some guidance on, you know, how to listen, because listening is one of the most treasured things, really, that we get to do, not just with other women, just with anybody else, with you know, our partners, our siblings, our children, our coworkers. When you are able to listen, it just allows you to receive so much more. Listening is a gift, and it's just extremely sacred, it's powerful, it's beautiful, and this chapter gives you a template on how to approach listening with when you're interacting with other women, a part of this whole sisterhood exchange, the sister-to-sister dynamic. So let me go ahead and read the chapter. If you have the book, I am on page 63, and the chapter begins, sister-to-sister encounters are ideal opportunities to live from your SOS. As you interact with other women, the role you play in their pursuit of dreams and goals is pivotal. As a woman, you exert an energy whose power you own but may have disregarded. Whether intentional or not, your comments, your body language, and your silent energy can either derail another woman's dream or infuse it with light. The sisterhood exchange that exists between women is a delicate link that responds to the energy emanating from each woman and permeates the consciousness of its witnesses. The link exists independent of your acknowledgement of it and succumbs to your illusion of powerlessness, and parentheses, a.k.a. your false sense of self, or is driven by your active SOS. The extent to which you are comfortable with your own truth determines how you motivate or discourage another woman's personal development. The more in tune with your own truth, the more likely you are to encourage another woman to discover her own. The further away you are from your own truth, the more likely you are to discourage, intentionally or not, a sister's activation of her SOS. When you are living with an inactive SOS, you are not living authentically. So a conversation with a woman who is seeking to activate her SOS can feel threatening. Your response to her is from a false sense of self, seeking to protect itself with equalizing questions and statements, comparisons, or subtle diversions to more comforting topics. Participating in a sisterhood exchange as you're straddling the fence between an inactive and an active SOS is unfamiliar territory, rife with energy awaiting your attention. As you proceed into the sacred energy of sisterhood, consider using the acronym LIVE, L-I-V-E, as a sister-to-sister communication template when conversing with another woman about anything, especially her dreams and goals. Okay, so L, listen from your heart. Far too often our thoughts while listening to another speak about items of importance are everywhere but with her. Sometimes, instead of really listening, we are merely waiting for an opening to respond with a prepared statement that shifts the focus from her to us or that dampens her joy. That's listening from the head. Listening from the heart changes our role to one of pure support. Listening from the heart employs our physical, emotional, and spiritual selves. Physically, our body language is open and inviting. It says we want to hear more. Emotionally, we are mature enough to delay our news so as not to dampen hers. And spiritually, we recognize the gift of being chosen to hear about something near and dear to her heart, and we are grateful. I inspire her. Inspiring her takes what she has shared at face value without analysis or judgment and lets her know you believe in her and her ability to achieve the dream or goal that has her name on it. Inspiring her reminds her that she is not creating alone, that a powerful creator has planted this idea within her and wants to see her manifest it. If she is sharing with you a fear or a mistake, inspiration, not judgment, not ridicule, or unsolicited advice becomes even more important. V is for validate her. Validating her zeroes in on the qualities behind the pursuit of the goal. Validating her puts into words the characteristics that are evident by her actions but often go unspoken. All humans need to be validated. Receiving this valuable gift from another woman is priceless. Has she taken a risk? Then she's courageous. Has she dropped a bad habit? Discipline is a character she possesses. Has she tried something new, overcome a fear, forgiven an old hurt? Then power, adventure, and wisdom are a part of her character. Validation is a powerful, fear-dissolving gift that women can and should give themselves and each other. The E in LIVE is energy exchange. When your conversation ends, punctuated with a secret gift you bestow by simply propelling positive energy your sister friend's way. A short prayer or positive thought silently directed to the woman who has shared her thoughts, fears, or dreams with you activates an unspoken synergy that blesses you both. She benefits from the genuine love inherent in your energy. You are blessed by the deposits of grace and goodwill that drip into your lap. And because like energy attracts like energy, projecting this sacred power to another woman pulls into your existence more positive energy to fuel the dreams and goals that you hold dear. Getting into the live habit can elevate a sisterhood exchange and transform it from vicious to sacred. The more you do it, the more natural it feels, and the more natural it feels, the more you do it. I love this chapter. I really, really do. I try to practice the live approach as much as I possibly can. I consider it a blessing. I consider it an honor. If another woman is sharing with me her dreams and her goals, that is so freaking sacred. She doesn't share with everybody. If she's sharing it with you, it's because she feels a connection to you. She feels safe to share it with you. And the way that you receive it, the way that you respond, either encourages her to continue moving towards that dream, or it can cause her to stumble. It can cause her to question, to second guess herself. And when we get into the habit of using the live approach, we not only bless other women who bless us by sharing these dreams and goals with us, we also bless ourselves because we just create this beautiful energy, this beautiful, beautiful energy that is exchanged between the two of us. And this chapter says that when we get into that habit, not only are we blessing her, but the energy, it drips onto our own laps. And so anything that we're working on, we infuse it with this beautiful energy that we just share with her. And then, in the beginning, let me go chapter, paragraph by paragraph. Okay, sister-to-sister encounters. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But essentially, when we become aware that we're exchanging this energy between each other, and we decide that we are going to intentionally bless other women, you know, with our presence, with our ability to listen to what they're sharing with us, man, the blessings that you receive from that decision, from that intention, those blessings are just multiplied, magnified. They just go really, really deep, really, really deep. And we do it verbally and nonverbally, you know? The next paragraph says, the sisterhood exchange that exists between women is a delicate link that responds to the energy emanating from each woman and permeates the consciousness of its witnesses. If you are having this exchange with another woman and there are other people around who witness it, they get blessed by it too, simply by observing it. They get blessed by it too because you are modeling this high-energy sisterhood exchange. And it not only benefits you, it not only benefits the woman who's sharing with you, it also benefits anybody, especially if there are little girls who are present who get to see women exchange at that level. Oh, my goodness. You are blessing them with this firsthand opportunity to see a high-level sisterhood exchange in action. What a powerful blessing for our daughters, for our nieces, for our just the little girls in our lives to witness, to experience. That's what happens. That is what happens. Okay, the next paragraph says, the extent to which you are comfortable with your own truth determines how you motivate or discourage another woman's personal development. That's what I talked about in this first chapter that describes what starts to happen when you do the work, when you do the work in part one, the sisterhood of self. Because when you spend the time in the silence, when you are able to forgive yourself, when you start to pay attention to your own thoughts and words, when you spend time in gratitude, when you start to operate from that energy, the way that you see other women, it just really starts to change. You start to recognize that we are all essentially, you know, in this together. We really are, you know, and your willingness to help elevate another woman, it opens you up in a way that nothing else can. You know what I mean? It's really, really powerful. It's really, really powerful. When you are not operating from a false sense of self, your ability, and that's the other thing too, you start to attract other women into your life who are also operating from an active SOS. Women who are operating from a false sense of self, if you're not, they find you boring or they find you threatening, and they will not feel comfortable in your presence. they just won't. And you won't feel comfortable in theirs because you just will no longer have time for that kind of, I don't want to call it foolishness because that sounds judgmental, but just for the sake of this conversation, you just don't have time for foolishness anymore. You know, a woman who possibly knows better but is not doing better, you just become more protective of your space. And a woman who knows better but is not doing better, you just don't have time for that foolishness, okay? Okay, so on the next page, next paragraph, says when you are living with an inactive SOS, you are not living authentically. So a conversation with another woman who is, and I just kind of went into that. So, but once you activate your SOS, it's just, first of all, there's no turning back because, you know, once that happens inside of you, everything that's inside of you just that has been waiting for your attention, it just starts flowing. It starts flowing on a consistent basis. When you are spending time in the silence, it reveals itself to you. That gratitude thing, oh, my God, man, that thing, ooh. Okay, let me go to the next paragraph because I can just get caught up in these different characteristics of the SOS, and it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. I like talking about this stuff. As my daughters say, I like saying a lot of words. Okay, so listen from your heart. That is, again, such a gift, such a beautiful gift, and when you are doing the work, okay, but you haven't, you know, peeled back enough of the layers to just recognize this sacred energy that flows between sisters, that flows between women, when you hear another woman, you know, who is attempting to or who already is operating from an active SOS, it may make you feel a little bit, you know, insecure or, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's divine discontent because the only way for us to know what to work on is for us to have a feeling about it. And so if it makes you feel a certain kind of way, that's not a reason to beat yourself up. It absolutely, positively is not. It's just information for you to decide what you are going to do with it. That's what that is. Our feelings are blessings to us. Our feelings give us this knowledge and information about where we are, and that's the only way that we can decide to do something with it, right? So if you are working on your SOS, but you haven't quite gotten to the point where, you know, you have fully activated it, and, you know, listening to another woman who has activated her SOS, if it makes you feel some kind of way, consider that good. Consider it good, right? And the other thing that I want to say with that is, just be willing when you are, you know, listening to another woman, be willing to, you know, put whatever it is that you may be feeling to just put it on the back burner and make every attempt to be fully present with her. That's what this live really allows us the opportunity to do. It allows us to be fully present, to be fully in the moment with another person. And while it describes our interactions with other women, it is also, adaptable to every interaction that we have with anybody. And I think it's especially powerful when we use it with our children because the opportunity to listen to a child talk about their dreams, their goals, their fears, whatever is going on with them, and to be fully present with them without giving them advice, without, you know, trying to tell them what they did wrong or what you would have done if you were in that situation. It's a gift to be on the receiving end of what someone is sharing about their life. And this live approach allows us, it gives us the opportunity to be fully in the moment. And that's essentially what it's all about, right? The thing that happens with that, the more you do it, when it's your turn to share, you have people who are willing to also use the live. They may not know that it's the live approach, but if you have given someone else a private audience to share their innermost thoughts and fears and whatever else is going on with them, trust me that when it's your turn, you will be given the same opportunity. You have modeled for other people the beauty of being able to listen from the heart. You have taught them something special. You have given them this amazing gift, this amazing ability to understand how important it is to just be fully present with somebody. This thing is, it's beautiful, it's powerful, it's important. Okay, the next letter, inspire her. you know, when someone has shared with you, you know, inspiring her, it just really deepens your connection to her. It really, really does. It takes your relationship to an entirely different level, you know. And inspiring her just really allowed you to take what she shared at face value without analysis or judgment. It's not this is not the time in the conversation where you critique what she has shared with you, or again, you share what you would do. And that, no, you are on the receiving end of this gift at this moment. You are on the receiving end, and your role is to, number one, listen from the heart, and then, number two, to inspire her. So when the opportunity comes for you to speak in this exchange, again, it's not about judging. It's not about critiquing. It's about saying, you know what? I believe that you are going to achieve this goal that you just shared with me. I feel it, and I believe in you. You know, be genuine, be sincere, you know, be authentic, but and just say what it is that comes from your heart. But at that moment, inspiration is, oh, my God, it's so powerful. It's such a beautiful gift that you can give, again, to another person. But when it happens woman to woman, especially because of the bad name that sisterhood has been given, you know, the depiction of sisterhood that is most prominent right now, you know, on the reality shows and different forums. When we have an opportunity to practice the live approach with another woman, oh, my God, we are that exchange is blessing the two of us, but it's also having ripple effects. Whether other people observe it or not, it's just the energy from it. The energy from it has ripple effects on everybody in that environment. Okay, so the next letter, excuse me, is V, validate her. Validating her zeroes in on the qualities behind the pursuit of the goal. Validating her puts into words the characteristics that are evident by her actions but often go unspoken. All that need to be validated. Receiving this gift from another woman is priceless. This piece right here, is one, be careful, because you might make her cry with this. Because this, when you validate another person, it has the tendency to resonate with them at a deep, deep soul level. Because it's not something that happens on a regular basis. All of us need to be validated. All of us need to feel like we've been heard. All of us need to feel like someone else believes that we matter. And when we do that woman to woman, when another woman validates another woman with her words, that thing is at an entirely different level. Everybody does not feel strong enough or courageous enough to validate another woman. Self-validation, of course, has to come first. And you get that when you do the work with the SOS, the Sisterhood of Self. A part of that, even though one of those chapters did not go in on self-validation, but it's inherent in those seven qualities. When you spend time in the silence, when you get to a point where you have this deep level of compassion for yourself, and that leads to the self-forgiveness, when you are paying attention to your thoughts and your words, when you are spending time in gratitude, you are validating yourself. You are telling yourself day in and day out that you matter, that you are important, that you have a space in this world, that your voice is important. You are telling yourself on a regular basis that you matter. You are validating yourself. And so your ability to validate someone else comes from that. It takes courage to validate somebody else. It really does, because you are not allowing your ego to be a part of the dynamic. You are allowing yourself to speak from your heart. You are allowing that person to know that you see them, that you hear them, that you want the best for them. Man, when more of us women get to a point where we can do that and we do it on a regular basis, we change things, because when a woman changes herself, her family benefits, her community benefits, everybody in her presence benefits. We model this behavior for the people in our lives, and we help them to take their lives to a different level. Oh my God, I'm so thankful that I get to share this with you guys. I'm thankful and grateful that God allowed me to be the vessel through which this rich sacred information poured, and I'm thankful and grateful that my inner splendor and my life purpose revealed themselves to me in such a way that I know that I don't have a choice but to share this stuff. Oh my God, I'm so thankful and grateful that I get to share this. Okay, so the E in the live approach is the energy exchange. When your conversation ends, punctuated with the secret gift you bestow by simply propelling positive energy your sister friend's way. I'm getting choked up talking about this stuff. Let me take a deep breath. So powerful. A short prayer or positive thought silently directed to the woman who has shared her thoughts, fears, or dreams with you activates an unspoken energy, synergy that blesses you both. She benefits from the genuine love inherent in your energy. You are blessed by the deposits of grace and goodwill that drip into your lap. And because like energy attracts like energy, projecting this sacred power to another woman pulls into your existence more positive energy to fuel the dreams and goals that you hold dear. Getting into the live habit can elevate, you can call that live or live, because L-I-V-E, you know, when you exchange like this with another woman, you are living. You are living your life fully. You are living your life authentically. You are living your life beautifully. So getting into the live habit, the live habit, whichever way you want to call it, can elevate a sisterhood cycle and transform it from vicious to sacred. The more you do it, the more natural it feels, and the more natural it feels, the more you do it. That last sentence, the more you do it, the more natural it feels, the more natural it feels, the more you do it. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for every woman who encounters the Sisterhood Exchange book and the radio show. That's my prayer, that you get to that stage right there where it's just a natural thing. It's just a natural thing. And then when you immerse yourself in relationships with other women who get it, who are operating from an active SOS, man, oh, man, your life just is sweeter. Oh, my God, it's just, yeah. So this whole chapter is beautiful, it's sacred, it's powerful, it's important, and I encourage you to spend time with it in the silence. I encourage you to practice it. Practice it with your daughters. Practice it with your sisters. Practice it with your cousins. Practice it with everybody. Practice it with coworkers. You know who you should practice it with? That one person. You guys are going to look at me, look at the computer, or however you are listening. You are going to look at it like I'm crazy right now when I say this. But that one woman who gets on your last nerves, That's the most important for you to practice the live approach with. The person who is just, when she's in your presence, you know, if it's like nails on a chalkboard, that's the person to practice the live approach with. Because if you can practice it with her, you can practice it with anybody. And if you can practice it with her, you get sisterhood. If you can practice it with her, your SOS, girl, your SOS is active. And your life is about to go to another level if it's not already going to another level. If you can practice it with her, you get it. If you can practice it with her, you understand that when a woman knows better, she does better. And the other thing with that is if you can practice it with her, the thing that I need you to consider is that, first of all, everything happens for a reason. She's in your life for a reason. Okay, if you are doing the work to activate your SOS, you have a gift that you can share with her. There's something about her childhood, her experiences. There's something about what's going on with her that has her in the position that she's in right now. And the wisdom and the knowledge that you are discovering, you're not supposed to keep it to yourself. She's in your life for a reason. She absolutely is in your life for a reason. She hasn't discovered her SOS. She might be operating from a false sense of self. You have an obligation. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You have an obligation to share what you know about the sisterhood itself, about the sisterhood exchange. And you can do that simply by embracing the live approach. You can do that by being fully present with her when she is sharing whatever it is that she shares with you. I know that, you know, I'm asking a lot. I am. But trust me. Trust me. The energy that you exude to that sister, you are keeping it for yourself and then some. Yes, you are. Okay. All right, I'm going to give the number one more time before I wrap it up. 646-595-2081. If any of you would like to call in before I wrap things up with a question about, really about anything that I've discussed tonight, about any of the chapters in part one, the sisterhood of self. And, of course, if you have any questions or comments that you want to make about any of the chapters that I've discussed in recent weeks with Sister to Sister, feel free. If you would prefer to shoot me an email with your question, comment, or brilliant insight, my email address is michellehollinger303@gmail.com. michellehollinger303@gmail.com. You can also, if you like, you can hit me up on Facebook. You can either post it on the Sisterhood Exchange Facebook page, or you can inbox me if you prefer to do that. I just want to make sure that you guys know that I am here for you. However you feel like reaching out, I am here for you if you want to discuss this further, if you have any questions, comments, or brilliant insights. If you don't at this time, I am going to go ahead and call it a night. And I want to thank you all again for hanging out with me for this really important discussion of sisterhood, the sisterhood exchange, the sisterhood of self, and sister to sister. It's a blessing, y'all. It's a gift to be a woman, and sisterhood is a part of it. You know, when we are willing to embrace it, when we are willing to do the work, when we are willing to step fully into our truth as women, man, we not only bless ourselves, but we embless. That's a new word. We embless. We bless other women. We bless other people. We bless. Man, how awesome is that, to be blessed and to be a blessing? Let that marinate, to be blessed and to be a blessing. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I will be with you again next Wednesday night at 7:30 for another discussion of the Sisterhood Exchange, Part 2, Sister to Sister. Oh, my goodness, yes, next week is a doozy. Who's in your circle? Who is in your circle? Who are the women that you hang out with the most? Because, you know what, I am not going to get into that discussion right now. I hope you guys will call in and let's have a conversation about this one, because it is another doozy. It's another powerful one. And as you do this work, though, as you do this work, who's in your circle will start to be a reflection of the work that you're doing, you know, because as within, so without. And that's essentially what the two parts of the book represent, because the sisterhood of self represents as within, the work that we do on ourselves, the work that we do with our sisterhood of self. And then, you know, that determines how we interact with other women. SOS determines sister to sister, as within, so without. The sister to sister is the so without part. And so next week we get to talk about who's in your circle, who should be in your circle, who shouldn't be in your circle, and how it will start to unfold the more that you do this work. So, again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I will be with you guys again next week for another episode, another session, rather, of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. So have a wonderful rest of your evening, fantastic weekend, and I'll be with you again next week. Peace.